Welcome to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, where we talk about life because it happens to everyone, along with some great indie musicians' Q&A sessions. So come aboard, kick back, and let's vibe.
Welcome to this week's guest on the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. Literally, my brother from another mother, Gerald from X-Con Media. What's up, G?
What's up?
All right,
real man. Brothers. We ain't talking about brothers from another mother, as in friend, close friend. We talking about we got the same father, brother.
Yeah, but we literally have different mothers.
Yeah.
So we could actually say that it means something. It really mean what it say. My right, brother from another mother.
That's it.
But our daddy was something else. Anyway.
Something else.
We here from different spectrums of the societal world. But we want to talk about Joe from X-Con Media and what he's up to, why he started his channels and his talk subjects and what's going on, G. Break it down to you. Who you are, where you from, and where you going, brother?
All right. I am from New Orleans, Louisiana. However, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, where I've been most of my life.
I'm sorry, brother. We got this thing going with New Orleans and Atlanta always.
All day long, man. Football season right around the corner, and I can't wait because I think the Falcons going to smoke the Saints this year for sure.
I'm not going to even argue because I hate losing. Sir.
Yeah, my fate brought me to Atlanta, Georgia, where I've been since 1993. Who am I? X-Con Media. The reason why I started X-Con Media, man, is because I, you know, went through a struggle in my life where I was in and out of jail, just constantly doing street stuff. Never killed or raped anybody, but I was doing pretty much everything else. And, you know, I think most of it stems from because I didn't really have a father figure in my life. You know, our father, my mother kept me away from our father. And then when I started coming around, when I was about, you know, 15 and a half or so, he was gone by the time I turned 17. So I did not have that father figure in my life. And it turned out to be pretty big. So I turned to the streets, you know, doing dumb stuff in the streets, life of crime. Kept getting arrested, kept getting out. Then I finally, that last time I finally got sent to prison. And they was talking about my extensive background with no convictions. So that the judge, if I would have had one conviction, she would have gave me the maximum of 20 years to serve. But because I, quote unquote, what's this they got going on? Street code, you know, staying silent to the streets and everything, because I didn't take the guy down that was on the case with me. She still gave me 16 out of the possible, you know, the maximum possible 20 years. So I was in prison from January of 1998 to January of 2014. Once I came out of prison, I hit the ground running, and I have not looked back ever since. Got a full pardon in July of 2020 for my felony conviction. You know, so I use my social media now to kind of spread awareness that, you know, you might want to change your life before you end up getting sent to prison, because some people get life. It's not guaranteed that you're going to get a slap on the wrist from day one. You know, some people get probation. Some people get 3 or 4 years. And some people get life. So sometimes you don't get a second chance. And so now I'm just trying to, you know, take my second chance at life and make the best of it.
Yeah, so that's good to know, because it's crazy out there with the youngsters doing all kind of stuff. And they need more people that's been in that system to come out and say, hey, the same way it's at, bro. Get your life together. Don't even make that move like that.
Yeah, and for the most part, a lot of them not going to listen. You know, I get a lot of feedback on my social media because, you know, I post just about every day. I try to post every day. And some people will not accept the message. I got a lot of people getting on saying, thank you. Appreciate your message. I love your videos. And then you got some people that be like, just be on some other stuff that don't care. So some people don't care. you know, but if I could reach one out of 100, that's one more less that we got to worry about in these streets. So because that one may be the one to reach millions. So that's why I just keep on pushing the message.
Each one reach one.
Yes, sir.
They can find you on what's your channels and stuff where they can access that information.
My channels. I'm on TikTok. I am on YouTube, Instagram at XCon Media. That's XCON Media. You can reach me and reach my content there. What else you want to know, Slick?
We want to know what's in the next 5 years of XCon Media. What's your ultimate goal with XCon Media?
Next 5 years. Well, hopefully, you know, my message get to a certain point to where it start to get national attention, you know, because my whole thing is I'm just trying to stop what's going on. It seems like stuff starting to get worse. It seems like, you know, these crimes are getting much, much worse. They're happening with more frequency. And I just think that some of the stuff that I say on my channel, like it's one thing that I say on my channel about anger management. You know, a lot of times people do some very, very stupid stuff when they get angry. And I think that that's primarily because they're not teaching anger management in school. Anger management should be a class that is taught probably from the sixth grade on through high school, you know, because, you know, a lot of times these folks, they doing stuff to try to prove a point. I got somebody that I did time with. He ended up doing 7 years that first time. He got out. He was out for probably about 5-6 years, maybe 7 years. And he was trying to prove a point to somebody, and he took the dude life, and now he's in prison forever. He got life without parole. He was on the first 48 and everything, and he got life without parole for trying to prove a point to somebody. You know, that's what my main agenda is, to try to get, you know, legislation to try to implement anger management in schools. You know, that's to me, that'll help society. That's something that'll really help society as a whole, you know, because, you know, you see so many shootings with road rage and everything. And sometimes people don't get taught to, hey, take a deep breath, take, you know, 2 or 3 seconds. You're trying to prove something to somebody that you'll never see again in life. You know, 2 or 3 seconds of taking a deep breath and walking away and going the other way, as opposed to not taking them 2 or 3 seconds, you can sacrifice and give up everything because you didn't use your thought process before you acted stupid. So, I mean, in the next 5 years, I just want to be, you know, nationally known for doing something good. You know, I did so much wrong in the 90s and in my past, you know. Hopefully I could just spend the rest of my life trying to keep people from going down this road that I've been down, because it's not nothing nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, pretty much everything, you should start at home, you know, in the house.
Absolutely.
You know, from the time your feet hit the floor, some type of training and life skills should be taught at home. But then a bunch of these single-parent homes are just, they don't have the life skills to teach, and they probably haven't been taught it. So it's kind of like a generational thing of stuff not being done. And I don't think we can just depend on the school system, because the school system, who are they? You know, what kind of life skills they have? You know, they reading from books and stuff, but, and then they might have their own kids to deal with. And then you got to deal with all these hundreds of kids on daily that ain't listening. I mean, how do you get control of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's true. You know.
There's a lot of spectrums to it.
It is. It should start at home, because the biggest influence come from home, or should come from home.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always pan out that way. You know, a lot of times these young men be in the house without a father, because I was like that. So, you know, so I didn't have a man. See, now it's a big difference, because I have a 15-year-old and that was born while I was incarcerated. And he had a very bad anger problem when I got out. He was six years old by the time I did get out. And he had a very bad anger problem. You know, he'll get on the court, you know, a little basketball games and stuff like that, and he'll be losing, and he'll be out there huffing, puffing, mad, just mad because they losing. He's 15 now, and I work with him on that anger in so many levels that he's so calm and collective when it comes to things now, you know. So it just started off with me being here, as opposed to if I wasn't here at 15, he'll probably be a menace to society, you know. on the way to adulthood. But because father is in the house, staying on him every day about his attitude and his thought process, is just a big difference. It does start at home, you know. And these fathers, man, these fathers got a lot of accountability because they just out here dropping babies. But at the same time, these mothers letting them drop them. You can choose who you have a child with. You know, you don't have to have a child with somebody that's a deadbeat, you know, because the results can be that you raising a young man. And, you know, there's awesome moms out here, but every mom can't teach a man how to be a man, you know, so it's better received from a man. So, yeah, it starts at home, but schools have a big, big, gigantic influence as well. And I just think that the stuff that they're teaching in the school systems is very outdated. It's outdated. It might have been good at the time, but they're not teaching kids life skills, survival skills, you know, thought processing skills, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're just programming them to be peasants, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But everything started home. It's good to have positive male role models everywhere in the community. You know, like sometimes maybe somebody lost a father and something, and their father deceased or something, but they still need like uncles or cousin male, you know, church leaders or anybody that's positive, just to kind of need more mentorship programs in the communities. You know what I'm saying? Remember back when we was young, we had boys clubs and different stuff we can go to where we had mentors, and they had little leagues and stuff for coaches to help out.
YMCA and
stuff.
And all
yeah.
That
so
stuff.
A lot of them programs, after school programs, you know, just to teach mentorship and stuff like that. It's a lot of that stuff. I don't think that's around now.
It's a money thing. Everything is about the money. So since they don't have it, you know, it's more lucrative to send your child
pipeline
to the court system. You know what I'm saying? It's more lucrative to have them break the law and have them locked up and sitting behind bars, being a slave to the system, you know, as opposed to teaching them how not to stay out. It's a money thing.
Yeah. Follow the money.
Yes, sir.
I heard it called the school system. It's like a lot of ways it's the pipeline, the prison system, where it's like they're really teaching you to be productive citizens and stuff. It's like, I mean, you look like the school's all caged up. They got gates around it and you got to follow these orders and stuff. It's like you're already like being programmed, being prison, so to say.
Yeah, institutionalized already.
So being 16 years in, how do you not become a part of that system where it's like, that's all you know, and you can't see outside of the gates? How do you, like, avoid being institutionalized? What happened? How did you get through that?
For me, I don't know, man. I don't think I ever fit in. Even through our 16 straight years of incarceration, I never fit in to being institutionalized. I just never went with the system. So I kind of always kept my mind outside of the prison politics because, you know, you had all kind of stuff going on with the gangs and just all kind of stuff. But I never did really get fed into that, man. A lot of times what I used to do was I sit down and play chess for hours with, you know, somebody that was kind of like on my same level as far as, hey, I'm in here doing my time. I'm sorry for what I did, but I'm just trying to stay out the way and get out of prison and don't come back. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of surrounded myself with people that thought like me as far as, hey, we made a mistake, so we just trying to get through this and get on out and never look back. And I just pretty much stayed out of the prison politics because a lot of people don't understand, man. It's so much going on in prison. So much.
Like it is a different society in there.
World. It's our own society. It's politics. And you one of these cats out here that take a pistol everywhere, you ain't got no pistols in prison. You know, I've seen some people go in there for 3 or 4 years and end up having to kill somebody. So now they in there for life, you know. So I've seen some people go in there with 3 or 4 years and don't make it home because they didn't got killed. You know, you can go into the county jail for 2 days and lose your life.
Yeah.
You know, so I just did, you know, I did some reading. Whenever they had educational and counseling programs, I always try to take a part in that. That's another thing. They had education in the prison system. Now, I don't know about nowhere else, but I'm talking about Georgia. But they took all of the prison technical schools out. It's a good thing that I was fortunate that, you know, Georgia got hundreds of prison systems. But when I went into the prison system, I went to what was a private prison. So they still had education. So after I got through with all of the fighting and all of the ignorance that I was doing, because I didn't go in there straight. I went in there with the prison politics on my mind, but I was sent to a prison that had technical school. So once I stopped getting in trouble and going to the hole and all this stuff, I started getting into the technical school. So that started being an incentive for, hey, I don't want to get 3 months in on a 6 month course and then get put out the course because I didn't went to the hole for fighting. You know, that was my incentive for staying out of trouble and staying in my lane. And then once I started gaining certificates, it's like that was a sense of accomplishment, you know. So I just kept going for certificate after certificate. And I tried to take all of the technical school courses that I could while I was there. And a lot of counseling courses like anger management, family violence, victim impact, critical thinking, you know, stuff like that. Attending those classes helped me kind of like really change my mindset as far as, okay, this is not how I want my life to be. They have taken all of their stuff out of prison.
By design, huh?
By design, you know, because it costs too much money for them to do that. So by design, they take it out. And then you, once you get caught up in the prison politics, you either do something to get killed, do something to extend your time, or once you get out, you on your way back within the first year, you know. So they basically putting you in there. Now it's just like they putting you in there, housing you, you know, stand by for inspection, you know, where you got to have everything spotless, clean when the warden come through, or you could lose your TVs, you could lose your yard call, you know, the little bit of privileges and little bit of freedom that you have, you could lose it. So 5 days a week, you know, you doing nothing because they done took everything out of the prison system. So you just sitting there. Just imagine somebody sitting there for 10 years that has not been taught nothing but, you know, institutional stuff.
Yeah, learn how to survive in that jungle. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, learn how to survive in the jungle. Hey, they coming out, and the next thing you know, that might be the dude that come through your window.
Wow. So, I mean, you see any kind of way, something like you think they need programs when people are coming out to kind of help reacclimate them to society?
Need programs.
Just looking
They need a lot of stuff that money is they always going to hide behind. We don't have money to do this and do that.
But we got billions, you know, to send overseas.
Oh, yeah. You got something. You can send, man, you done sent how many billions to Ukraine?
Lost count.
Yeah, billions. You mean to tell me that we couldn't have did nothing with them billions of dollars for our own society? I know that's a whole nother story, but I just that just touched me the wrong way. As far as every time you look around, $44 billion dollars he sent one time
out of thin air, just grabbed it.
Like, yeah, just,
we don't
hey,
have the money, but
send it over there.
It's
that's
a whole nother subject.
Yeah, that's a whole nother subject. But it's just it's a revolving door.
They put money behind what they believe in.
Yeah,
and what they want to happen. Yeah. So, but you know,
they
want
to control everything.
But, you know, what about the community groups, church groups? You know, they got to have some type of public stuff to help, you know, people. But, you know, I don't know. It's just.
Yeah,
they
do. But people got to want to do it. And, you know, sometimes the people at the top be so programmed that they just following suit to the agenda.
Right. So what?
So they're not going to reach back to the community. They're not going to, you know, they're not looking to help, you know, keep people out of prison.
Hi, this is Pillow Talks Podcast with Trina J and Adidas with a Z, and you're listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, anchor.fm, Pillow Talks Podcast. If you would like to be a guest on the show, reach out to us, pillowtalks1@yahoo.com. That's PILLOWTALKZ, the number 1@yahoo.com. And we out. Bye, 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 bye.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast.
Did you know that over 92% of people in the United States are deficient in one or more vitamins or minerals? Unfortunately, the foods we eat just don't have enough of the vitamins and minerals our bodies need to maximize our immune systems, strengthen our organs, and help our bodies perform at their best. It's also the reason why so many people get sick. In fact, over 80% of patients who got COVID-19 were deficient in vitamin D, and up to 82% critically ill patients are deficient in vitamin C. The fact is, we need supplements. And now, for the first time ever, you can get the highest quality, most complete supplements on the market for prices that anyone can afford. With Live Good, you can afford to be healthy. Check out joinnatenow.com and check out the 6-minute video. Leave a good name and email and we'll get with you with more information. Have a great day.
So the one thing you touched on is fathers. Like you said, when you came through Pops, you had what, a 2-year window, and then he was deceased, died in.
I don't even know if it was two years. Yeah, it was. I don't even think it was 2 years, man. It might have been a good 18 months, if that.
Yeah.
You know, where I was kind of kicking it with him every weekend. And then he was just gone in a flash.
Well, the significance of father, like positive role model fathers. I ain't just talking about just people just doing dumb stuff in front of kids. But I'm speaking from experience because I had my high school years with Pops. And the significance it made in my life as a young man, having that male figure that you looked up to and that the strength and solid and work ethic and take care of your, you know, responsibility, that it made a difference in my life. I don't know who I'd be if I didn't have those 4 years.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, you know, I think you had the most of him.
Well, me and Gregory, but you know, Gregory kind of, we had to get him out of there. Pop was too rough on him as a young kid, so, but he's, you know, he still got some of the influence. But yeah, me, I just stuck in there. Pop wasn't nothing nice. You know how he was. He wasn't nothing nice. But I loved my pop so much that I was willing to just take it in there and learn him and learn from him, and it just made a difference in me. And then the thing that kept me out of the prison system is, he had told me, he said, man, if you're out there on the streets hanging out with the fellas and stuff and you get, you know, get caught up and go to jail, don't call me. And somehow that struck a chord with me, like, oh, I can't call my man, my dog.
And that's the message I didn't get.
So my logic,
I didn't get that message.
My logic was like, okay, if I can't call him, so I don't need to be going to jail. Because he was my dog, you know, we was tight.
Yeah.
And if I can't talk to my dog, I ain't going.
That further proves my point. Because, see, you had the most of them. And out of all of the brothers, you the only one that did not go to jail at all, ever. The rest of us did.
But look, I mean, Chris had from birth till, what, 10 or something like that?
Yeah, till so 10. He caught the young. Yeah, but see, by the time he left, by the time Pops was gone, man, Chris was. Yeah, he went wild. 10. Yeah, he went stupid because he was just 10. I guarantee you, if he would have had him all the way up to adulthood,
it wouldn't have been,
his life would have been totally different.
Well, all you of us, really. Saying? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying the importance of a positive father and of a boy's life. Well, any kid, you know, boys and girls.
Right.
I mean, we just need more men to stand up and be men. Whether you're with their mom or not, just take care of your kids, be in your kids' life and guide them and lead them and just be there for them. Because I'm telling you, fathers are important. We underappreciate it in a lot of ways, but we are the solid rock in the, you know, in the community. And, you know, I guess the society don't want that, you know, strong male figures that's, you know, that's guidance and leadership, you know, because, you know, they're trying to break down the masculine man. Which is healthy, you know, a healthy masculine man.
Yeah, that's too. That's part of. You know, but again, some of the onus falls on the ladies too, because they don't have to have children with the guy. Investigate who you having kids with.
They can get tricked too, though.
They go a long way. They can get tricked. The representative could be on, but hey, a little bit of investigation, it'll avoid a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's like a box of chocolate. You don't know what you're going to get until you start jumping on it.
Yeah, that's true.
But then, you know, once you find out you got a knucklehead, and then now you still got to put this kid in situations where they can, you know, grow positively, get them around male role models, or, you know, do the best you can. But it's a mess out there, man. It's rough out there.
It's just like, too, with my oldest son. He was 2 when I left the street, and he was 18 when I got out.
That's
and
a whole once I got bunch out, of gap. Yeah,
it's a whole bunch of gap. And hey, guess what? He ended up finding out about the prison system on his own. He went to the prison system for a couple years on his own. Once he got out, then he wanted to receive the message that I was giving, you know, but he didn't want to receive it before then. He was 18. He was rebellious. You couldn't tell him nothing. I wasn't there, you know. And the difference between, you know, he was in and out. He was in the gangs. He was in and out of juvenile his whole life. Then he ended up going to the prison system in, you know, in his early adulthood. And, you know, at 27 years old, now he's receiving the message. He's staying out of trouble and everything. And it's a difference because I'm here with my 15-year-old son, which is totally different. Never been in trouble. Mm-hmm. Could possibly be a future politician. He's real popular in his school. He's very smart. He play all sports. I mean, he big as me. I just measured him the other day. He's 6 feet tall, at 15 years old. So, he a monster. And never been, he don't even think about getting in trouble. So it's a difference between the one that I wasn't there with and the one that I'm here with, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
and then you also got a young daughter that, you know, that you got to be there for.
8-year-old daughter. Yeah. Now I'm man. I would have if my first child would have been a girl, it would have drove me crazy. Yeah, being incarcerated probably would have drove me up the wall.
So, fellas,
literally,
fellas, you hearing it from an experienced guy, ex-con media. Tune into him, man, because he's trying to put them jewels out there to keep you knuckleheads from being in that system, man, because that system ain't that nice.
You want it. You think you want it until it actually happens to you. When that judge dropped the gavel on me and told me 16 years, boy, me and my girlfriend at the time, we was the only black people in the courtroom.
Wow.
So you and that judge dropped that gavel and said 16 years, boy, we was in there crying like a baby.
All that gangster stuff went out the window.
All that gangster stuff went out the window right then, boy. I'm in there crying. I'm boo-hooing because at that time I wasn't nothing but what I was. I was 23 years old.
Man, life just beginning.
Old. I missed the rest of my 20s and most of my 30s behind the wall.
Significant years
behind the wall. That's why at 48 years old now, I live so young. I be trying to be out here doing all this young people stuff because I lost a lot of my life. Yeah, I lost a lot of my life. I'm trying to get it back now.
So this is the part of the show where we drop them life nuggets. What kind of life nuggets you have for the people or the younglings that's out there trying to be with no guidance and thinking they know it all?
Get you some education. That's the best thing that I could tell them, because I think to a certain extent, education helped me. Like I said, I was on some wild stuff. Then I started getting school. But you want to go ahead on and get the education now before you get in trouble. Don't try to get the education after you get behind bars. Like I said, some people get probation. Some people get 2-3 years. Some people get life without parole. Some people get sent to the electric chair. You know, you just don't know. So the biggest thing you need to do is get education and seek help. We, especially black men, don't never like to say, hey, I need some help. Hey, I need this. Hey, I need that. Can you show me this? Can you show me that? You know, ask questions. You know, look for a positive role model. Just do anything but turn to the street light, because these gangs don't love you. As soon as 10 of y'all getting in trouble, I guarantee you 6 of them going to point the finger at you, and you're going to be the one that take the fall. So that's what that's the message that I want to push, man. Hey, it's 2023 and beyond. Prison is a bad place to be. And it's something that you don't want to experience. If you never had that experience in life, you done did an awesome thing. Yep. Cause you don't want it. It'll change your life.
Right on. Yep. Now you heard it from X-Con Media.
And, but you ain't got to listen to me.
No, you don't have to
listen. You don't got to listen to me. You can go find out the hard way. You know, you could just disregard anything that I said and go find out for yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can go find out for yourself. You ain't got to listen to nothing I said. You go in that courtroom playing with them people and you let that judge drop that gavel and give you that nice, long, lengthy sentence. Yeah, and then you go find out for yourself. Let's see if you can make it through that.
Yeah, so, and then you can write XCon Media and let them know the experience, if it changed or not. Give him an update, yes, so he can broadcast to the people out here.
Yes, sir.
That's crazy, yeah, man. Yeah, y'all, young men, stay out of trouble, man. Just get, find you some positive role models. You know, sometimes you got to be your own role model. Stop following, you know, trouble lead. You know, some, like I said, sometimes you got to be your own role model. If you can't find one, you got to be one.
Yes,
and
sir.
There's, you know, there's a lot of positive stuff. I mean, it takes the same amount of energy and hustle to do the right thing that it does to do the wrong thing. So you might as well just do the right thing, and, you know, then you can sleep at night, you know, and whatever you do, do it without hurting nobody else. Just do the right thing.
What you could do, yeah, what you could do is you could check into my YouTube. I be trying to post positive stuff, you know, and situations. I done started now to where I'm posting, you know, situations a lot of these guys I done did time with. So some of these guys didn't really turn their life around. So, you know, catch me on YouTube, XCon Media, XCon Media. And yeah, tap in with me.
Yeah, and then if you got any questions, go in the comments and holler at them.
Yeah, you can email me at owner@xconmedia.com.
Cool. Yeah, we have all those links in the notes, and get at him. I mean, don't be scared. Don't be ashamed. There's no dumb questions. He's going to give it to you raw and real. Ain't going to sugarcoat nothing. So, you know, if you want a mentor to how to not be in that situation.
I'm that guy.
He's the guy. And then if you know some young men out there going bananas and stuff and act like they're hard-headed and stuff, send them over there to Gerald at XCon Media.
Correct.
Yeah. Send a YouTube link to him and let him hear some of Gerald talking about, you don't want to do this, young man. You don't want to do this.
Yes, sir.
Because he's got the experience and it ain't nothing nice.
And I'm trying to keep you out of it.
Right.
You'll thank me later.
Right. And then if some of you guys, you know, throw some support over there, because all he's doing is kind of doing the work for you.
Hey, if you look, listen, I've taken all support, you know, all support. Cash App is XCon Media. $XCon Media.
Put it out there,
man. I'm taking all support. The more money that I rake in, the more I can make videos for y'all. I want to quit my day job just to dedicate trying to change my society.
For the better.
For the better.
Let's give it up for Gerald from XCon Media. My brother from another mother, literally.
Yes, sir. That's my big brother, Nate Smooth.
Hey, man, you putting out my music name. Nate Smooth, SMOOVE, Media, on YouTube. A shameless plug. If you want to see what's in my head, check out my music videos, Nate Smooth, right. Media.
Hey, I'm on one of them.
Yeah, you on one. You on a couple of them, huh? Was it one or two?
Nah. Well, one or two.
What's going
Talking
on?
Talking on one.
You on two of them. You on What's Going On, and you on Not a Victim.
Not a Victim.
Yeah.
Yes,
you forgot, indeed. Huh? Check out Not a Victim.
I forgot that.
Yeah, check out Not a Victim and What's Going On. You'll see Mr. XCon Media on there spitting a few rhymes or telling his story. So, yeah, we got a great message in both of those songs. I like putting out message music. Message.
Indeed.
I can't even say the word. Message music.
Message music.
Like the OJs, we got a message in our music.
Yes, indeed.
So anyway,
bro, I appreciate you having me on, bro. I love you.
Love you,
and
bro.
We got to do it again. We got to do it again. Do it for the win.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even though we from opposing teams, cities.
Listen, man.
The Who That Tribe.
I'm telling you. Yeah, we that. We that.
We'll try to steal
Falcons off, rise up.
Yeah.
Rise
and get,
up.
And get taken down by our Saints.
Nah, not this year. Not with no Derek Carr, they won't. It's not going to happen.
I don't even follow them that much, but I'm representing everything NO 504. All positivity.
I represent everything 404. ATL.
All right, ATL, go to hell. Oh, no, I ain't say that. All of ATL fans, I want y'all on my channel too, so I ain't gonna dog y'all out. Anyway, may the best teams win.
My team.
You've heard it exclusively on Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast.
Hi, this is Gerald from XCOM Media, and you are listening to Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. That's my big brother. Be sure to check me out on XCOM Media at YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, wherever you can find me on social media at XCOM Media.
Thanks for listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. We appreciate every one of you.